The following is a paid advertisement. The opinions, viewpoints, and promises made during the following program are not those of KHOW, its staff, management, or parent company, iHeartMedia Incorporated.
This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Time now for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Heard weekly on stations all over Colorado. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are Colorado injury attorneys. But for the next hour, they'll answer questions and provide advice on any legal matter, including wills, real estate, bankruptcy, contracts, and more. Call in now. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And now, here are your hosts, live in the studio, Gary Bell and Brad Pollock.
I had a friend was a big baseball player back in high school. He could throw that speedball by you, make you look
good morning. Like a fool. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Brewer England in studio today. Gary Bell's out of town, out of the state, out of the country, off bicycling somewhere, taking a well-deserved vacation.
You should have one every once in a while. I'm jealous, but here we are.
And so we're going to sub in for him. I would say we sent the A crew in. So, <you know. laughs> I hope Gary replays this and hears it. I know he's not hearing it from where he's at right now.
No.
I think it's somewhere in the afternoon where he's at right now, and I don't think he's listening to this show from another country. But maybe he listens to it quite often. But today you get me, Brad Pollock. You get an associate in our office, Brewer England. Brewers, you've been with us for how long now?
About 2 years now.
2 years. It's been great having Brewer aboard. He knows his stuff. We're here to talk to you about personal injury cases and about other legal matters that might affect you. This is a show where you can talk about any legal topic. We don't do political matters. We talk about legal matters. In our everyday lives, we are personal injury lawyers. That means if you've been hurt as a result of a car crash, if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another or the failure one of someone to do what they're supposed to do, you give us a call. We'll get you your recovery. Yes, we compete with the attorneys who do the pound in the regular advertising every day on TV and on buses and on every way, which way they can, on billboards. But we have found that if we are good lawyers, at which we are, and we do our job right, and we work with you on making sure your case is properly handled and properly pursued, we get equal to and better than the other firm's recovery, and we can take care of you and make sure you're taken care of. So if you've been hurt, give us a call, 303-795-5900, or look us up as Champions of the People. Gary and I have been doing this since 1984 as a firm, so it's not like we're new to the landscape.
No, you've been around the block at least a couple of times. You know, might know a thing or two about the law at this point.
Tried a few cases, have spent a lot of time in the courtrooms and out of the courtrooms, making sure we get great recoveries for our clients. A couple of things I want you to understand in the basics of a personal injury case is, first of all, the initial conference is always free.
Always.
Now, you know, you see attorneys advertising and acting like that's a great ship to have you come in and talk to them. If you have personal injury lawyers, if you've been hurt in a personal injury matter, if you've slipped down steps, if you've been in a car crash and somebody's hurt you, if the attorney you call to talk about the case and the attorney you come in and see or the attorney you put virtually on your computer charges you, don't go to that attorney.
Well, you'd be hard-pressed to find an attorney that does that anyways, because every single attorney I know of in our field does free consultations.
That's right.
It's not a selling point. It's the standard.
That's exactly right. And so if you see it being used as a selling point, think twice about using that attorney. If you see it being used as an informational point to say, you know, come on, it can be a disadvantage. I mean, let's face it. When you're in a car crash, what do you have? You have somebody that's crashed into you. They've been negligent. They've hit you. Doesn't necessarily make them a bad person. It makes them a person who's made a mistake. And, you know, we start talking about they're bad if they have no insurance. But if they have insurance and they comply with at least the state law, it means they've made a mistake. They are going to call their insurance company. You might call yours. They are going to be able to tap into a wealth of information. And they're going to tap into a wealth of history, of abilities, of easy access to lawyers and adjusters who are going to help defend them in their case. And really, it becomes between you and the insurance company, not between you and the person who hits you.
Yeah, of course not. You're not going against the driver that hits you. You're going against any of these multi-billion dollar companies that have teams of lawyers and teams of adjusters, and their entire job is to try to minimize the amount they pay on claims like yours.
Right. Now, do you think for a minute, do you think for even 1 minute, that the adjuster that gets on the phone and talks to you hasn't been trained?
Of course they have. Well, and beyond that, they've not just been trained to minimize what they pay you. They've been trained to make you happy about it. They will talk you up. I've been in my own claims and I've talked to the adjuster outside of work. And until I tell them that I'm actually an attorney, it is sweet sound and talk. They're as nice as could be. Oh, we're just trying to figure this out for you. We're trying to help you here. What we're here is to protect you and protect your interests.
And so you would expect it. I mean, if you're calling a State Farm adjuster, or if they're calling you, because quite often they'll be calling you, or Farmers, or a Geico, or Progressive, or you can name any of them. I don't care which insurance company it is. You expect their adjusters who are calling you to be experienced in what they're doing.
Of course.
And what you have to expect is they're also experienced in doing the best they can for the company, as Brewer just said.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be working there.
That's right. And they've been trained to do the best for the company. And unfortunately, when you get involved in this kind of stuff, what's best for the insurance company of the person who ran into you, or the person who was negligent in maintaining the stairway, or in clearing the ice, or in clearing, in taking care of the property and giving proper notice, what's best for them is to pay you as little as possible.
So, of course.
So it's the worst for you.
That's what's the best for the shareholders.
So that's why you need to make the initial call to a lawyer, a lawyer who does personal injury.
Much like the adjusters, we have training and we have experience. We just have the experience doing the exact opposite that they do. Our experience is fighting these insurance companies and getting them to pay more than what they're comfortable paying, because they're trying to, you know, pay as little as possible.
Now, is the lawyer going to give you a case review? Yes.
Of course.
Can the lawyer tell you what your case is worth
absolutely
when you walk in?
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. That's exactly right. Brewer, we're going to talk about a few things that are need to know and a few things that keep us from when we walk in. We're not going to fool you. We're not going to bait and switch you. We're not going to throw that line out there and say, oh, we're going to tell you what your case is worth when you first walk in the door. There's a lot more to these kind of cases. There's a lot more to understanding what you're doing. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. And after we take this break, we're going to talk to you a little bit about that. And then after that, we're going to talk about home rule cities and negligence per se and how these laws get put together that you get to live by that affect your ability in personal injury cases and all other cases. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Brewer England in studio. One of the reasons Gary and I started this show 25, 30 years ago, I don't know, that seems like that long, it's been a long time, every Saturday morning, is so that if you have questions concerning matters, we can help you. We will be happy to talk to you on the air, off the air, discuss your matters. It's got to be legal matters, and we'll try and discuss what what we can do to get you to at least started down the road to being able to properly handle your own matter. If you've gotten a traffic ticket, if you're going through a family law matter, we can maybe help you and see what we can do. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. Brewery, a little bit, we'll move on here in just a second, but we also want to get back into some basics of personal injury law, basics of representing persons. You hear this, we don't get paid unless you get paid. No fee unless we recover for you. That's pretty normal.
I think you'd have a really tough time finding an attorney that does the type of work we do that does not work on that contingency fee basis.
And once again, if you're being told that for informational purposes, to have you be more relaxed and more comfortable about calling up the attorney, then it's great. If it's being told to you as some kind of selling point, then understand that that selling point is not a selling point. It's a regular event.
It is how every single plaintiff's firm works.
Standard in the industry. So, and then as far as how fast your case can get settled and how slow it takes or what is, every case is unique, folks.
Right. And this is, this is kind of probably the first bad news that we give potential clients, because we do get asked like, well, what do you think, how long do you think it'll take to settle this case? I don't have a clue.
That's right.
Every single case is different. I would be doing you a disservice by telling you I know when I can solve your case, because I don't know.
And some of it depends on your injury too. I mean, a lawyer who settles a case before they know the full extent of your injury is a lawyer who's not doing his or her job.
Absolutely.
A lawyer who gives you an idea of, and starts saying your case is worth this or that, and you're still not aware of how much your injury is. You don't know how much insurance is on their side. I mean, the person who hits you and caused you injury may have a $100,000 policy, may have a $25,000 policy. You yourself can protect yourself a little bit from underinsured and from not being fully compensated for your injury by carrying a higher, if you can, than the $25,000 minimum, or actually the zero that you can do,
right,
carrying a higher med pay and carrying a higher UIM policy. Understand that these are our concepts we've talked about them before. We'll be happy to go through them in future shows too about what it means to get med pay. Please don't let your adjuster talk you out of med pay. And please don't let your adjuster talk you out of UIM, uninsured motorist. And don't let your adjuster talk you into trying to reduce your coverage.
Well, so this is another, I'm going to air quote, selling point that you hear. And this has nothing to do with us law firms. This has everything to do with your own insurance companies, because the common selling point on television or on the internet or on the radio is that you can save this much money. And what you ought to take a look at is why you're saving that money. And oftentimes it's by lowering your coverage, and it's by giving yourself less protection. It's by removing your medical payments coverage. It's by removing your underinsured motorist coverage. And these are really important to have.
And you know, it's the same thing. I think every day I get something in my mail, it seems like, talking to me about how I can get lower property insurance, lower insurance on my house, and how they know how much my insurance is. I'd like to know, but I know they don't know. They're just saying they can beat it. But you know, you got to know what the coverage is, because when the injury happens, or when the event happens that causes you loss, you've got to have enough insurance to cover it. That's what insurance is for. Now, everybody's got a budget to live in, and so I never criticize anybody who just carries the minimums and the basic amounts. But if you can get more, get more.
Yep.
Get yourself protected, because there's no other protection. And then it starts coming out of your pocket. It starts coming out of your what you can borrow against your house. It starts coming out what you can borrow from other people. And it causes you a great deal of difficulty.
If you can afford it, it's worth every single penny, every single time. We see this every single day. This is our job, is to fight to get this coverage. But if this coverage doesn't exist, then there's nothing for us to fight for.
So pay attention to that. Be careful about ads that kind of mislead you, that suck in and try and get a hold of you. I'm not referring specifically to anyone. They're all over the internet. They're all over everywhere to talk about how to try and get you into their office. You want good, responsible, honest lawyers who are going to talk to you about what the truth is and discuss with you what happens in a personal injury case. And that's what we do at Bell and Pollock. So you can contact us at bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com, 303-795-5900. Give us a call and we'll help you with your personal injury case. We'll shoot to you straight what it is and what you got to do and how you got to do it. So switching gears a little bit and putting Brewer on the back up against the wall. Brewer, what's negligence per se?
Negligence per se is really important to what we do, especially when it comes to car crashes. It's a cause of action that, instead of being based out of the common law and out of basically hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of court cases, negligence per se looks at statutes. So in Colorado, we have statutes for all sorts of things. And if we talk about car crashes particularly, let's say, for instance, the Colorado has a statute that says it is illegal to run a red light. Pretty simple, right? Negligence per se is a cause of action that allows us to rely on the fact that someone violated that statute to help prove that a certain driver is liable. Basically, the 30,000 foot look at negligence per se is what we're trying to prove is, one, the at-fault driver violated a statute. Two, that the victim is in the class or the type of person that the statute is designed to protect. Three, that the violation actually caused the injuries. And four, that there are injuries, right? So, you know, in a sense, if the at-fault driver in this case violated a statute about, I don't know,
speeding.
Well, yes.
Running
well,
a stop sign.
We'll do an obvious one. Yeah, well, so if they violate the running the stop sign statute and they hit you while you are legally and properly crossing the street, then you are a member of the class that this statute is designed to protect, because why do you have laws to keep people from running stop signs? It's so they don't hit people.
Now, when Brewer brings that up, that's an interesting topic, because any of you sitting out there right now, how many of you would guess, want to venture a guess of how many statutes or ordinances, I'm throwing ordinances in there where there's a reason for it, or statutes or ordinances there are in this state that says you can't run a stop sign? Probably 100?
A bunch.
So if you say 100, you know, I'm going to venture there's at least 105, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
Why is that?
You know, how many home rule cities are there?
105.
So, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but there's probably 105 statutes saying you can't run a stop sign. And you're going, or ordinances, if you take statutes right. And ordinances. There's only one statute, but there's ordinances also that say you can't run a stop sign. Why is that so important? Well, that's important because if you have people coming to an intersection and you have people going through that intersection and it results in a crash, if you don't have a statute and you don't have a sign, then you're left to what are the right-of-ways? Who's got the right-of-way to the person on the right, and who got to the intersection first, and who was in the intersection? And, you know, you talk about a great thing for accident reconstruction as an engineer is to be able to reconstruct the accident, to say what happened and who got where and what they were doing and what speed they were going. And by the way, one person was speeding through the stop sign, and, you know, how many ordinances and statutes, folks, do you think there are that talk about speeding and that address speeding?
Right.
Probably over 100.
Over 105.
Yes. So you stop to look at it. And why are we doing this? Okay. We want you to understand that negligence per se, this legal doctrine, goes to whether there's a violation of a statute or regulation And a regulation can be such as an ordinance. It can be such as a law that's been passed by your home rule city, your home rule county. Why is that so important? Well, Douglas County, you're about to find out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's going on?
Well, Douglas County is currently working on deciding whether they want to become a home rule jurisdiction. And this has been around in Colorado for a long time now. About 130 years or so, home rule has been around in Colorado. And if a county or a municipality decides that they want to go out on their own and they would like to have less control, but also, you know, fewer benefits obligations connected to the state, they're allowed to do that. But it's quite a bit of a process for them to do so. And Douglas County is in the middle of that right now. They just recently had a town hall about it, and they're having a special election at the end of June as to whether they actually want to go through with this.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about right after the break. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about this as it applies to your different ways of life and how it affects you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Brewer England, in studio today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Brewer England, in studio today. Normally, we'd have Eric come on from Caitlin's Restaurant, but he is a little under the weather. So we are going to give a little advertisement himself. One of the things about doing a talk show is you learn to do different things. When I look up TripAdvisor on Caitlin's Restaurant, it says it's an excellent locally owned breakfast spot. The food was top shelf. The mimosa was a full pint. The service was quick and attentive. Now, that's what they say about Caitlin's. And you want to go someplace where the it's a locally owned place where the food is top shelf. You can get a mimosa, which is a full pint, and the service is quick and attentive. You go to Caitlin's Restaurant. That's the place you want to be, what you want to do. They serve breakfast and lunch. If you go there after about 2 o'clock, you're going to have a little problems getting food. It's not going to be as easy as you like after about 2 o'clock. But I have seen Caitlin's, and I'm aware of the fact that Caitlin's has at times stayed open later. If you get there a little late, get in there and tell them you're hungry and talk to them. They'll wait for a while and they'll serve you breakfast or lunch. They have a great deck on the back patio that you can enjoy and have a chance to take a look at that. They're at Mississippi and Colorado Boulevard, folks. If you go down to Colorado Boulevard and then head a little bit east on Mississippi, you're going to see there's a car lot right there. You look off to your left, you're going to see a little shopping center, the Glendale Shopping Center. And they're right in that shopping center. It's at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue in Denver. You can call them for to-go orders. They'll help you get it delivered. They'll bring the food right out to your car. If you have a to-go order and you want to pick it up, or if you want it delivered to your house, they'll do that. You call them at 303-798-6600. Right now, they got a beautiful deck in the back. You can be out there on that deck having a cup of coffee. They're dog friendly, so you can bring your dog with you, sit out under an umbrella with a nice cup of coffee, with a great breakfast, great French toast, great eggs, great pancakes, and enjoy yourself at Caitlin's Restaurant. So head on out there. As they say, you'll love it every bite of the way. And fully endorse it. I can tell you, I don't advertise it because I haven't been there. I've been there. And normally I'd love to pick up a bunch of their pancake batter and take it home and cook for everybody. So think about that too. So we're talking about home rule. And, when you start talking about home rule, you want to talk about the fact that that means every home rule entity is making its own laws.
Right.
And that means when you're passing from one jurisdiction to another, Glendale to Denver, Denver to Lakewood,
right?
Lakewood to Littleton,
right?
Littleton to Englewood. There's a different set of rules. There's a different set of laws.
Potentially.
Now,
I mean,
they're all going to be say basically the same thing. I've yet to see a home rule city that has said stop signs don't mean stop anymore.
Right. It's the point being, like, in practice, most of these municipalities, jurisdictions, counties have nearly the same laws when it applies to us. You stop at stop signs, you go at green lights, you cross at crosswalks when you have the walk signal, things like this. But they can be different because these jurisdictions are in charge of setting these rules.
So how did this home rule stuff come about?
Well, I mentioned earlier it's been around for about 130 years, and about 130 years ago it was called the Great Panic of 1893. It was nationwide, but it was particularly bad in Colorado because the price of silver dropped by about 25%, which caused a bank run. If you know something about Colorado history, this is when, Baby Doe Tabor and Horace Tabor, that are like kind of legends of Colorado history, they lost their entire fortune during this depression. And it's what ultimately killed both of them. But during this, there was a whole lot of disagreement about how to handle this depression and the unemployment and all of the crime that was going on in Colorado. And tensions began to flare, and there were some serious disagreements on how to solve these crimes between some people from rural communities, some people from downtown Denver, and from the legislature in the state capitol. And ultimately, it reached a point where there was nearly kind of a civil war, and the National Guard had to be sent in, the National Army had to be sent in to keep people from shooting each other on the streets here. So a question came about, well, how do we know that the state legislature is actually the best and most efficient representative of our needs if, you know, they have the state legislature is made up of people from all over the place. You have people from Grand Junction, and you have people from Denver and from Pueblo and from Lamar. And how do we know that the people from Grand Junction and Lamar know what's the most efficient way to regulate the city of Denver? And that's the question Denver was asking. And so Denver said, hey, legislature, can you pass an amendment and let Denver just be our own city and county, be our own thing? And we will take the leash off. We will create our own laws and regulations. We will regulate our own city. We will have our own fire department. We will have our own police department. And we will raise our own revenue to do this. And the state legislature said, sure, why not? We'll try. And in the very early 1900s, Denver became the first home rule city and county. Now, a number of municipalities followed this. And at this point, I believe 4 counties in Colorado and a total of 105 municipalities are home rule, meaning that potentially all of these different municipalities have different rules, different regulations, different ways of doing things. And on paper, doesn't seem so bad, right? Because as opposed to the seat of the state, you know, coming up with these regulations and painting with a wide brush over the whole state, because that's their job. Instead of that, we think, you know, you might have different needs for a city like Durango than you do for a city like Denver. And don't you think it'd be a little more efficient, maybe, if those cities got to come up with rules that better reflect their needs?
Now Colorado does have, within its laws, 47 topics of authority for home rule counties.
Yep.
Now, those include debt and tax and the use of parks, open space. It can also include you're traveling around the county.
Well, it includes all sorts of things. I imagine you are a homeowner in Boulder County right now, and you are used to doing DIY renovations, and you're used to getting proper permitting for these renovations, but now you're moving to Littleton. And, you know, you're only moving like 30 minutes away from where you were before, but your new house, you might have completely different zoning and code requirements at your new house. Those DIY renovations that you've been doing for 20 years on your old house, you might not be able to do anymore. Or there might be a different permitting process. It might be more stringent, less stringent. Who knows? Because these counties can have completely different rules for that.
And how does this come back to a personal injury case? Well, when you start making your laws, they make their own traffic laws too.
Of course.
And therefore, the different counties. Now, I off the top of my head, I know Pitkin and Weld County. Douglas County wants to be one. City and County, Denver is its own.
Well, let's talk about, I think, the most obvious one that I can think of for this, because there are quite a few municipalities in Colorado where this is the case. And when you enter that municipality at the sign that says, "Welcome to beautiful Durango," there's a sign right after it that says, "Unless otherwise posted, speed limit 25 miles an hour." Now, that's not the case in a lot of places in Colorado, but that's the case in Durango, and they're allowed to make that law.
And they should be able to. Durango may have a way that it wants to control its traffic and its people and have its laws that's different from Steamboat.
But what happens when you've never been to these towns before in your life? You've only ever been in Denver, and you show up to Durango for the first time, and you're on a wide open road and no one's around, and you get pulled over because you were doing 35, and the officer says, "Don't you know that in the city limits of Durango, unless otherwise posted, it's 25 miles an hour?"
And that's what happens. And, you know, we practice, we have an office in, and we practice in Steamboat Springs, and we practice in the surrounding areas. Something that we look at negligence per se in saying whether or not somebody violated a traffic law or an ordinance or an authority, a legal governmental authority. We need to know the difference between Denver, and we need to know the difference between Steamboat Springs.
Of course. And so a lot of what we do is look into local ordinances to make sure that we have a proper understanding of what a negligence per se claim looks like in each particular municipality, because they can be different.
And that's part of the negligence cases. That's part of your driving. That's part of your law. Now, normally what's going to happen is, for instance, Greenwood Village has its own city ordinances. It has its own traffic code. That's right, folks. It has its own traffic code. It has, as many of you recognize, in Littleton. They have their own courts.
Right.
Englewood has its own court. They have their own courts. These are cities that are close by each other that you can drive through and be in the other city in the blink of an eye, and what you don't realize is, in a way, the laws have changed.
After the radio show today, I think I can pick a direction and drive, and in about half an hour, I can drive through three or four or five different municipalities and drive through three or four or five different traffic codes.
And we're going to talk about a little bit about that when we come back. But we're talking about home rule cities a little bit, how it affects you in your everyday life. You listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Brewer England in studio today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Brewer England in studio today. Let's talk a little bit about what we got going on Saturday. Today, there's a one-hour show starting at 10 o'clock on KOA 850 concerning truck crashes, brake failures. What's it really mean? Look, you know, truck crashes are important crashes. Somebody's going to get hurt. We do them. We do them well. We do a lot of them. We're happy to do your truck. If you've been hit or hurt by a truck, semi-truck, big rig, any kind of big truck, give us a call, 303-795-5900. Look us up at championsofthepeople.com. In Steamboat Springs at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a show on concussions, talking to you about concussions. And in Craig at 8 o'clock, underinsured motorist challenges and tests. That's going to be uninsured and underinsured. We've talked a little bit about that, about how you have to have coverage. In Colorado Springs at 11 on KRDO, we're going to be talking about impaired driving. You might be seeing a pattern here. And for those of you who listen to us every week, there is a pattern. We educate. We talk to you about what it is. We lay it on the line for you. We let you know what's happening. On Sunday, there's going to be a 30-minute injury show in Steamboat Springs on KEZZ 94.1 FM and on KBCR and KTYV and KCOQ, all over the radio on injuries and damages losses. So you can equate your injuries to damage losses and what that is. Craig, you're going to get to hear that at 7 a.m. on KRAI and in Colorado Springs at 8:30 on Sunday on KRDO. We're going to talk about rental car insurance. You go out and get in that rental car. It's spring coming up, folks. It's summertime coming up. You're going to be traveling places. You're going to be getting rental car insurance. Does your policy have rental car insurance?
You should look and find out.
You should look and find out.
I just recently rented a car, and before I did so, I unfortunately, because of our profession, I spent the night before reading through my policy to make sure I had proper coverage.
Well, and I hate to sound bad, but about 7, 8, 9 years ago, somewhere in there, I remember standing with my wife and my kids in the line to get my rental car at an airport and not knowing if I had a rental car insurance on my policy. And I'm calling, it's a Saturday, I'm calling my insurance agent to find out if I have rental car insurance. And fortunately, my insurance agent picked up and was able to tell me, yes, I did. But you know, you're waiting in line to go decide whether or not you're gonna get insurance.
Right.
And they always say, do you want insurance? They always give you that option. It's going to cost you more money, but do you want insurance?
Well, and there's the deal, because I mean, you want to make sure you're covered, but darn, if I've already paid for this coverage through my own insurance, why am I paying the rental car company to do the same thing I've already got coverage for?
And not only protect the people I might hit, might hurt, how about my own people in my own house,
right,
in my own car? And then do I have the car covered?
Right.
You know, am I going to be able to pay Hertz or pay whoever they are for their car? Or am I going to be buying a new car because I've crashed it? So, you know, you might want to find that out before you get on the plane, folks.
It's a good idea. I know that sometimes the rental car line is long, but it'll feel really short if you're trying to figure out your coverage while you're in it.
Yeah, don't wait. I'm telling you now, get it done before. You know, I hear there's long waits at the airports nowadays. Maybe you can check while you're at the airport, but who knows? But we're talking today about home rule cities, about how the fact that home rule cities have some of their own laws. They have little twerks to the laws and little changes. We're talking about the fact that when you're in a personal injury case, when you've been in a car crash, one of the premises, principles you work on is, did anybody violate the law?
Right. The statutes.
That's the statutes. And if there's ordinances, then you've got to figure out if they violated the ordinances.
And those ordinances can be different based on where you are.
That's right. So you got to have an idea of what they're all about. With 105 different jurisdictions, you're not going to know them all. You're going to be driving in a particular standard of care.
And here's part of the deal is that and this is a super basic kind of underpinning of the law, is that everyone is presumed to know it. You know, whether or not when you move to a new county or you move to a new city, whether or not you go and you take a look and say, I wonder if the traffic ordinances are the same in this county as my last one. Whether or not you do that, the cops are going to presume that you know them, and the courts are going to presume that you know them.
They're going to require that you know them. And if it's causing a crash because you didn't know them, and most every single of the cities, I remember when I was practicing as an assistant city attorney in Greenwood Village years and years ago, and then also handling traffic matters a lot, recognizing that if I was in Englewood, the laws were different than Littleton. If I was in Littleton, the laws were different than Greenwood Village. And if I was in Greenwood Village, the laws were different than Denver. You had to look up the ordinance each time. Now, we can't all do that. You can't be looking those up. So there is a standard of care.
Right.
And that standard of care, the laws are going to somewhat follow them.
Well, and that's why we don't just have negligence per se. That's why we have negligence. You know, the other side of every case is not just the statute. It is, what would a reasonable person do in these circumstances? Negligence.
And that's important that you understand that that's what we deal with. So if you've been in a crash, you've been hurt, if you've been the victim of somebody else's negligence, it can be the same thing on the way you maintain the property, on how restaurants and how the merchandisers and how the storefronts, Believe me, because we practice in both places, they're different in Steamboat versus how they are in the Denver metropolitan area.
100%. And part of the list of things that a home rule municipality can do is write ordinances or policies or regulations on maintenance, you know, snow, ice, cracks, everything, of sidewalks on private property that people are going to be walking on. And so one city might say you don't have to scoop up the snow at all, and another city might say that within 3 hours of the snow starting, you have to sweep it and you have to put salt down. This can be very different.
It can be, and that's why you need to go to lawyers who understand the laws. Now, does that mean you have to look at them? Are they local within your area? No, there's lawyers that understand the laws in a number of different ways and a number of different and can look them up and understand how they look them up. But it does mean you need a lawyer. And so when you're in a crash, if you've been hurt as a result of negligence of another, if you're the victim of a slip and fall of some kind of incident that's occurred, the best thing you can do is call a personal injury lawyer. They're all over the place.
Right. And our job is to provide information. Our job is to kind of parse through these questions, all of the questions, and more than just what we've talked about today, but every single week we talk about questions like these that we lawyers parse through every single day for work.
And that first call can be so important. You want to give a call to your lawyer before you're talking to the adjuster for the insurance company.
100%.
You want to be able to discuss what your rights are and what you're entitled to and what you're not entitled to. And if you've got a loved one who's been hospitalized as a result of the matter, call us. We can get down there and talk to your loved one at the hospital if they're able, if they want to.
Whatever is easiest for them. Our job is to make things convenient for you, whether that's fighting the adjuster or just meeting you.
We'll make home visits. We'll make hospital visits. Give us a call, Brad Pollock or the law firm of Bell & Pollock, Brewer England. You give us contact, bellandpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com, 303-795-5900. And we'll be talking to you all next week.
Have a great weekend, everybody.